Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts and the 8th chapter. I'm just going to read one verse. We'll come back to that. And then we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16 and read two verses. And we'll come back to that as well. And interesting title for today, God Turned Me Into Lemonade. That's why I'm wearing yellow today. My wife's wearing yellow. And we're talking about lemonade. You've heard the saying, if you get a lemon, make lemonade. Well, God does something like that too. And we're going to see a couple examples here in the scriptures. If you would stand for the reading of the word, there's background to this and all of that, but I'm just going to use this to preach about the guiding hand of God and how it has twists and turns, and we don't understand it, but God has a plan in his guidance of us. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and then I'll read Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Hear God's word. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And now Acts chapter 16. And I'll read again verses 6 and 7. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come upon Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Heavenly Father, we know that this isn't the end of those stories. And we know that any temporary setbacks and scatterings and stoppings aren't the end of our stories, but just the providence of your great, loving, guiding hand. Help us, Lord, to turn our case over to you and not to be blaming you, but to be blessing your name no matter what seems to be going on in our world, because the whole world is in your hands. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One time I went to this fancy restaurant with a good friend of mine, and we sat down, and I was looking at the table settings and all that, and there was this spoon on the table, and it was about like this, maybe a bigger, between a teaspoon and a tablespoon, and had a hole in the middle of it. And I thought, what is this thing for? Did some kid get a hold of this and mess it up? I didn't know. But of course, I was like, I didn't want to act stupid. My friend is, hoity-toity, I guess. You know, he has some money, and I don't have a whole lot of money. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm uncouth. I'm just a hillbilly. I don't know. So I'm like, trying to get some sugar out with it, and that doesn't. We had soup, because you have four or five different courses, and I don't know which fork's supposed to be longer. I don't get that, And I'm trying to, soup with it, and I'm just struggling with it, thinking, this thing is, come on, it can't hold anything. Everything's falling through, and I'm thinking, well, this is silly. But I'm trying to do it without my friend noticing, because I didn't want to look like, just a bumpkin, Well, then all of a sudden, there are some olives on the table, and of course, I don't eat olives, so I didn't think about it. Well, my friend reached over, used his spoon, and pulled an olive up, and put the olive to his mouth with that very spoon. You see, the spoon was an olive spoon. And what it's used for is you pick up the olive, and then all the juice drains down while you put it to your mouth. So see, I couldn't understand what the thing was used for, so I thought it was useless. I thought this thing was ridiculous. And I, wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want to look stupid, but I'm the one that was stupid. I didn't realize what it was made for. Anybody ever had an experience like that? Light bulb, whoa. Someone's been talking about it all the time. You're like, oh yeah. Something so obvious, and you're like, oops. But we're afraid to ask anybody, right? We don't want to seem like we're silly, or And it happens that way with God, doesn't it? There's these Christian terms and things like that, and you're like, they've been saying it for a long time. People have come to me, and you think people know certain things, and they don't. And Christians talk about God being the potter, and, we're the clay. You hear that a lot, and I've said it. It's like the most important lesson in the Bible. But we forget, even when we know that, we forget what that may look like, what it might feel like, what it might seem like at times when we're getting chipped apart. It seems like we're nothing but holes. And maybe that's to do to the fact that we don't understand what we're made for. But getting molded and twisted and turned and broken and shaped can be very frustrating at times. I know I can get an amen on that. It can be painful, quite confusing. What is going on? Where do I go from here? I don't understand this. Is it supposed to be like this? But when you truly understand what you're created for, then you can be satisfied and trust that God knows what he's doing. Just becomes words, I know. But sometimes that light bulb hits. Sometimes that question mark turns into a light bulb, turns into an exclamation point. See, then we're going to allow him to use us however he sees fit, and we're going to enjoy him even when it may seem like he's just messing us up. But do you really understand God's purpose for you? The Westminster Shorter Catechism is full of questions, and the question number one is, what is the chief end of man? And the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what the Scripture really teaches. And we say the chief end, let me put it in modern language, the main purpose. The reason you were created was to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, the thing is, we think about glorifying God, we don't even know what that means. But let me say it this way to you. To glorify God means to reveal his character through your character. You are enjoying him. See, we think, though, that glorify God and enjoy him forever means just our destination. You see, there's a difference between destiny and destination. Your destiny is the route to your destination. The destination is where you get to. My destination is heaven. Therefore, my destiny is holiness. You can reverse that if you want to. But we think that, okay, if I glorify God now, then I get to enjoy him later. Ah, because we see that word forever. And we don't realize forever starts now. Again, it isn't just that you glorify God now and then you get to enjoy him forever. It means you can enjoy God right now by glorifying him in whatever situation you find yourself in. God is greater than your situation, and your situation may be bad, but God is still good, and you can enjoy him even when you can't enjoy your situation. And that's what gives him glory. And that's what gives us something that money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, and that no matter how much messing's going on, we're not messing up. He's got this thing under control. And when we understand that, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now let's look at a couple Bible examples to show you this and what's going on in God's timing. Now in chapter 8, verse 1 and 16, verse 6 and 7, we read that. Here's Saul, and he became the apostle Paul, but in the meantime, the stoning of Stephen had just happened at the end of chapter 7, and he is persecuting the church. In verse 2 through 4, it says he was ravaging the church. Here he is going and getting people killed and all of this. And here's the apostles, and it looks like, what's going on? Or he becomes the apostle Paul, and he says, I'm going here. No, you're not. I'm going here. No, you're not. And he's doing God's will. We know the Apostle Paul was called to go to Asia and to Galatia. There's the book of Galatians. We know he went. Why this? It can seem really hard when you're coming to church. You know, you're trying to do your best. You're trying to do what God has called you to do. Or you know he's called you to do this. You've seen some fruit of this. But then you get scattered. Or you get stopped. You can imagine how scared the new believers were. They were being scattered, but the apostles stayed behind. You can probably identify with Paul as he attempted to go from place to place, but God was saying no. Now get into that story. Put yourself into that. Think about the first century, and they just became Christians. These are brand new believers, and then it all goes south on them. Or here's Paul. He was one of those that persecuted, but now he's the one that's spreading the gospel, and then God says no. You told me to go to the Gentiles. No. You told me I got to go here. No. I'm sure a lot of your plans have been messed up, shot down, or thwarted by others, or you just seem to miss the boat with God. That's never happened, has it? You know God wants you to do something, but every time you try, your plans don't work out. Or just when you got something good going, boom, it's over. Just when you found your groove, yeah, bang, you can't do it anymore. Just when you got people to do what you need them to do, bang, no one wants to do it. Just when you think everybody's on board, boom, people jump ship. It's like that, isn't it? Isn't that what happens in our lives? And then we start blaming ourselves or blaming other people and blaming the devil and all of these things. And I know all of us at times have been frustrated and discouraged and wondering if we did something wrong. You might be tempted just to give up, thinking this sorry situation is just your lot in life. You try one business, then you try another business, then you try another, and you're thinking, I'm really trying to do this. I talk to the pastor every time. I'm coming to church. I'm doing this. What? And we wonder what? Paul was definitely doing the will of God. But part of the will of God was for them to be scattered. Part of the will of God was them to be stopped. Part of the will of God was part they couldn't see yet. But they were determined to glorify God no matter what situation he was going to put them into, and that's the point. Not the context, but God's call. Does that make sense? See, there's more to these stories. And there's more to your life than just a temporary setback. Amen. Amen. What looked like a matter of being scattered and stopped was really a matter of being sent. Now let's read verses 2 through 4. Anybody with me? Verses 2 through 4, it says, "Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." Now think about that. Think about these souls, and they just got saved, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is doing these wonderful things, and they're willing to spend their life for it. But these newcomers are going, "I'm not willing to do that yet." And they ran. But keep reading. "Now those who were scattered," remember verse 1? "All were scattered except for the apostles. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Now what's the thesis statement for the book of Acts? Acts 1 verse 8. "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." Now what does it say in verse 4? "They went about preaching the word." And it says they were scattered in verse 1 through Judea and Samaria. Then you see Philip going to Samaria. Here they were. Acts 1, Acts 8, it had been quite a little bit of time, and they still hadn't done it. So God used the evil of men to send his seed, to scatter them, and to spread the gospel. And this wasn't the ordained men. This wasn't the apostles. This were new believers. Do you see that? Before the apostles went, these scattered believers were sent. And it continued happening. Now, the apostles went. You saw in Acts chapter 8, after Philip went down there, then they came and ratified it and showed that the Holy Spirit was moving amongst the Samaritans and then Judea in chapter 10 and then the uttermost parts of the earth in chapter 19. And by the time you get to chapter 28 and verse 13 and 14, here's Paul coming back to Rome, or coming to Rome, and he's about to make his final, you know, hurrah there. And it says, they were in Puteoli, and he goes, "And we found disciples." And you can't really see that by the English there, but really it means, "And we stumbled upon people we weren't expecting. Here we are, and there were disciples." Isn't it like that? You go to this place and you think, "Oh man, I don't want to walk through this part of town. It's going to be ungodly." And there's Christians there, right? You go over to somebody's house and you think, "I don't know if they know God," and there's Jesus everywhere. "And there we found disciples." Isn't that good? Yes. And now Acts chapter 28, now you're talking about 25 years later now. So Paul was still, so these new believers were the ones that spread the gospel just like the apostles. You just don't read about it, but there it is in the text. Saul was scattering everybody about to do the job that he was also going to do. Isn't that incredible? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so we don't see that. We thought it was just scattered. It's over. Let me tell you something. Someone could come in here right now and use a machine gun and spray half of us down, but the other half of us, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about the gospel, amen? Amen. Yes, we're going to worry about our families and this, that, and the other thing, but when it comes right down to it, the one solution that we have is Jesus Christ. Your life may not be going so well. You may feel like you're being scattered. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough house. You don't have enough whatever, but Jesus, you know, you have enough Jesus. Amen. Talk about the gospel. Get filled with the Spirit. God will do something. This wasn't the end of the story. God ordains more than just ordained men to do ministry. Did you know that? I mean, you may not be speaking from a pulpit in a church, but you can speak from a pulpit in your world. And you know, you maybe get shut down, but you go to the next place. Shut down, go to the next place. Your job is not to save people. Your job is to scatter the seed. And sometimes God scatters us so that we'll do what he's called us to do. Amen? Now let's look at the other example. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. And we read verses 6 and 7. Paul, go do this. Nah. Go do this. No. It's unbelievable. But let's read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And now for the rest of the story. It says, "So passing to Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night." This is verse 8, Acts 16. "A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, Paul was going to wind up preaching in these blocked areas, Galatia and Turkey and all that, later. But something needed to happen, and I want you to see something. Look at verse 6, and it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia." And look at verse 7, "And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas." And now, look at verse 10. "And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." You see the change in the pronouns there? From the they to the us, from them to we. If you search this thing out, which we won't do right now, you realize that this is the first time where we see Luke. This is when he met Luke. So God had Paul, can't go here yet. Why? Because I need you to meet Luke, the guy that's going to record all this thing. And Luke is just a smart enough writer to put it in there like this. And there's no translators that really doubt this, by the way. It's there. Paul's going to go to those blocked areas later, but he needed to meet with Luke now. God is going to add the people and the resources and the places and all the necessary things to your ministry in very many and messy ways. Because he had a whole traveling companion. Now he's gathering this thing up. Now maybe some of those other people had met with him, those ones that got scattered. And remember, he was the one that scattered them, and now they're following him. Isn't that interesting? Talk about messy, talk about weird. You know how it is when you got saved. You're trying to get your mom or your dad saved, or you're trying to get your son or daughter saved, and you've been talking to them for years, and then some joker does it, and halfway doesn't do it wrong, and then they get saved easily. And you're like, what? It's just like God to do that, isn't it? You're like, I've got everything laid out, and here's my apologetic, and here's my theodicy, and blah, 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 and all that. And they go, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You know, like, oh my goodness. So here's all these people following him. And now it's like, they're going to be thinking again, we already went through this. Oh, it's because before he scattered. So now, you know, his ministry isn't any good. Because we know there's some kind of curse. You think people didn't think that back then too? But Paul knew what he was doing. But now, we're stopped. You got to go here. You stop. You got to go there. Stop. Got to go here. Oh, this isn't working out. Something's not right. There's something demonic going on. No. But even yes, God is still using it. Amen. He's still letting them do whatever they want to do. You think Saul wasn't demonically inspired? Of course he was. But had God done something? He sure did. What happened? He needed to meet Luke. Why? Luke wrote Luke, and Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so God wanted this third-hand account to be a first-hand account. Now, you see it later. He'll go back to those same other pronouns and say, okay, you can figure out where he was left and where he came back and where he left and he came back. But the fact is that maybe somebody in your life needs to show up, and God is twisting and turning and slicing and dicing you till you get to that place. Amen? It can happen. It's okay. Again, are you going to glorify God and enjoy him forever no matter what happens? Even if you messed it up, even if it was your fault. Because it was Paul's fault or Saul's fault that he was scattering the church, but God used that, and then God used him. Isn't that amazing? That's it. Has that been any of us? You know, you were the town this, you were the town that, you did this, you did that. You don't forget everything. You say, look, Matthew, when he wrote down his gospel, he said, Matthew, the tax collector, right? J.D., the this, right? You or me, we were this, but now we're this. Amen? Anybody got a testimony in here today? God's guiding hand looks like a lot of pressure and a lot of pain and a lot of problems and a lot of no's sometimes. But God can redirect you and further his purpose by using the wickedness of men. They mean it for bad, but God uses it for good. And God knows how and when to redirect you and to give you what you need to do ministry and to find your life purpose or your life partner or whatever he's calling you to. Amen? And that service to him, no matter what it is first and foremost an act of worship to glorify God and enjoy him forever, whenever, wherever, whatever, however, whoever that situation may be. God might squeeze you like a lemon to make you lemonade because someone else needs refreshing. You hear me? Are you willing to be tossed and turned, pressed and pulped, sliced and squeezed for the sake of someone else, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus? When things don't go as planned, you plan on glorifying God anyway. There will be times in your life when God redirects your plans. Maybe it's going to happen suddenly, without warning, and it might seem scary. When God redirects you, it doesn't necessarily mean you were going in the wrong direction. It means that God is leading you in a new direction. It's a new situation, new circumstances, but it's for the same purpose, to give Him glory, and no matter where, who, how, what He sends you to, because the why is still the same. God, why are you doing this and bringing me over here? Why is this leaving and this coming? Why this? Why this? To glorify me and enjoy me. Sometimes everything else has to go away so that you can see He's all that's left and that's all you need. Amen? Oh, don't let the devil talk to you right now. Listen to what's true and what's right and what's noble and what's pure. Think on these things. Do you think we're not doing spiritual battle right now? It happens. It happens. When your plans don't work, God is still working His plan. When your plans don't work, God is still working His plan. Now, the Apostle Paul had learned this lesson. We saw in chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, he gets saved. And then chapter 16, here he is a few years later, however long, and he's learned this lesson. Now, I want to show it to you by what we read this morning. I want you to turn first to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to show you this. Paul learned this lesson, and he taught this lesson. Anybody with me? Paul learned this lesson, and he taught this lesson. Now, when I read Philippians 2 right here, verse 12 and 13, you know these verses. Everybody knows these verses. Not everybody, but most of you do. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not just now, but more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, here's the thing. Paul was writing that from jail. And you can see his glory to God reasoning in chapter 1, verse 12 through 21. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, his imprisonment, has really served to advance the gospel. Because, and I'm going to paraphrase here, everybody winds up knowing it. Because we read it this morning. And he goes, there are certain people that are going to become more bold now because I'm in jail. And they know if he can do it, we can do it. We're going to go out there and we're going to share this thing. And he goes, you know, there's other people that are just trying to keep me in jail. But you know what? They're all preaching the gospel and I'm happy about that. I'm going to glorify God right here in the jail cell. So here's Paul. Don't go here. Don't go here. And then he goes here and he goes in jail. Wouldn't you think if you were Paul, I must have done something wrong. Are you going to be like Job's friends? Do you know the message of the Bible? Do you think that this is that's cause and effect, or that God has got an overarching plan, is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, no matter what situation you're in, even if you put yourself in that situation? Come on. Say, okay, God, I did it. I'm guilty. I'm in jail. Now, Paul wasn't. He was just guilty of preaching the gospel. Amen? And one day we might be guilty of preaching the gospel and go to jail. What then? He says, I know this thing's going to work out because you're praying for me, whether I live or whether I die. Because for me to live is gain. You think, I could never be that way. That's why he keeps teaching. And he says, I haven't obtained all this yet, but I'm seeking that which God has sought me for. I'm grabbing hold of Him because He's grabbed hold of me. On and on and on and on. You don't just finish with chapter 4 and go, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to learn the lessons on the way. And he learned the lesson on the way. And now he's teaching it. And what's that lesson? That God may say no here. He may stop me here. He may scatter me here. I may do something wrong and scatter. But God can change that around. And God can make it where even if I'm in jail, I can glorify Him. And I can say, to me, it lives Christ and die is gain. Paul says that going to prison is worth it because Jesus is worth it. In any of your plans, don't forget God's overarching providence and His purpose. He's in control and He loves you. So you messed up. So I mess up. God still loves me. I can learn from that. I can get better. You could pray for me. And And his purpose for creating you is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. To enjoy him. Does anybody enjoy God here? You think about it. Why would they be enjoying God when they got scattered? They just got settled. Woo, we found a great church. Boom, we're gone. They dropped a bomb on it. Oh, we're doing good. We're going to reach here. We're going to reach here. Boom, we got thrown in jail. We couldn't go. Paul's doing all he could. Now there's people put it. He's in jail, and they're preaching to try to keep him in jail. And he's still going, I love Jesus. Because he learned the lesson. He learned the lesson. He knew what was going on. And so he's teaching. He goes, God is working to will and do of his good pleasure. And his pleasure may be to put you in prison for a season. And we're thinking, no, the other church down the street won't sell that. Well, I'm not selling Jesus. I'm telling Jesus. I'm telling you. Potter in the clay. Glorify God. Enjoy him forever. You can enjoy him now even if you're dead. And if you're enjoying him even when you're in prison, because it's not even your fault, then you really are enjoying God, and you've got something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch. We've got something the world doesn't have. And some Christians have what some of the Christians ought to be enjoying, but they're not. Because they're like that olive spoon, they don't know what it's there for. But when you're really doing what you're created for, don't you like that? Don't we all do that? Like you found your trade of choice, and you think, this is what I really can do. You found a text that really speaks to you. I've got this thing. You found where you really fit in. And you're like, yeah, this is it. We all want that. But God says it can happen anywhere you are. Glorify God and enjoy him forever means right now. My forever started a long time ago. God's grace is going to take you through many twists and turns. But the twisting road of grace leads straight to the heart of God. You can enjoy God even when your life is on a roller coaster. I'm not enjoying this life. I'm worried. Yes, okay. I'm not denying that. You can still turn to God. You can still turn to God. Your faith doesn't have to waver with the waves of life. Those storms can prove to you that God is in control and that you're built on the solid rock of Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. None of the problems of this life or this world can change the person, the promise, or the power of God. I generally don't like to make these things personal, but I'm going to say a personal word here before we close. I was thinking about this the other day, and I hadn't really thought about it till just the other day. On September the 25th of last year, I preached a sermon here that many of you will remember. It's called Trusting and Treasuring God. And in that sermon, I said that the power of faith doesn't always get you out of your what-ifs. It turns them into even-ifs. Remember, what if this happens? Even if. Or what now? Even now. Remember that? God is the source of my joy and my peace, and I'm going to worship him. Again, that was on September the 25th, 2016. And just less than a month later, on October 23rd, 2016, I had a heart attack. I just thought about that. And so I was living it, baby. And I meant it. Now here I am nearly a year later, and there's been a lot of unexpected twists and turns. Squeezing and slicing, molding and shaping. There's been a lot of frustration and discouragement and disappointment, as well as some great times of triumph and excitement. But it's been the same wonderful Jesus right there with me through the whole thing. And he's never going to leave me. He promised me. God designed me with a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. So I might as well give him glory and enjoy him right now, whatever happens. Things are going to change for you. Things are going to change for you. Kids, you know that. You're going to get older. You know? You're going to go through changes physically, emotionally, spiritually. You're going to go through school. Things happen, you know? Parents and grandparents leave or pass away, or your children, that type of thing. Every one of us has changes. Every one of us has changes. You say, do you believe in the power of change? Well, I believe Jesus can change people, but I know this. People are changing no matter what. You're going to change into what you worship, but we could go there later. Everyone and anyone, life is going to change. So if you said nothing, I got you right there, right? I said something true. Everybody knows that. One day you'll die. One day Jesus will come back. One day, everything will be made new, and if you know Jesus, you'll spend eternity with him in a perfect world. That's how it's going to be forever. But your forever starts right now. And all the changes along the way are along the way of God's sovereign, loving control. It really is all working together for your ultimate good and his glory. He's revealing himself. And he reveals himself as the one that's with you no matter how many twists and turns and slicing and dicing you have to go through. He is with you. Can you hear that in your soul? I am with you. When you've locked your heart away, when you've run away, when someone else has done it, just pray that they hear it. Pray that you hear that song in your, I love you with an everlasting love. I'm here with you. I am guiding you. I am working to will and do of my good pleasure. And it may feel like pain right now, but welcome to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've been called not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. That's Philippians 1:29. How could Paul write these things in jail? Because he knew Jesus. He knew him. So let me ask you, have you been blaming God instead of trusting God? Have you failed to remember that your main purpose is to glorify and, yes, enjoy God? And that he's enjoyable even when your situation isn't. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn our audio off after I pray. And I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 10. Father, when we feel like we're being squeezed like lemon, let us know we're being made lemonade for your good purpose, that we can refresh other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we have. When everything else seems to be taken away, we've got the one thing that no one can take away. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen.